With a presentation on a fairly new EBA report that was issued earlier this year on support to regional development and cooperation and integration in Africa, what works and why. And this report is authored by Fredrik Söderbaum, who is Professor of Peace and Development Research at the School of Global Studies at the University of Gothenburg, together with Therese Brolin, who is a PhD student in Human Geography, also University of Gothenburg. I am not Therese Brolin or Fredrik Söderbaum. My name is Torgny Holmgren. I'm a member of the expert group on development studies, EBA. And I have had the privilege to be chairing this reference group that have maybe put some ideas and input to this study. Later on, after this initial presentation, we will hear from Elling Schönelan, who is a senior researcher at one of the oldest and maybe most impactful institutes in the Nordic countries, the CMI, Christian Michelsen Institute in Bergen, Norway. And also most welcome to Harry Hagen from DFID, UK, who are a senior economic advisor on Africa Division. But before I will leave the floor to Fredrik, if I go back some time in time, when I myself started to work in East Africa in 1983. One of my first assignments was to travel from Nairobi to Kampala to meet Walter Umbricht. You who have been around for some time might know who Walter Umbricht was or is. At that time, he was the mediator on the East African community was dismantled. Actually, a regional organizational setup in Africa that was dismantled. They divided East Africa railways, East Africa transport, East Africa telephone, etc., in between the countries. So I asked myself, why didn't it work? And now there's a new kind of East Africa community build up. But that was dismantled, one of the only functioning regional organizations in Africa. So that is a question I will pose to Fredrik and to the panelists. Why didn't it work and how could it work today? So please, Fredrik, you have the floor.
I'm very happy to be here and together with Therese Brolin from my university in Gothenburg. We have authored this report on my favorite topic. I've done research on regionalism for two decades, but there hasn't been that much discussion around the role of the donors in this. So the motivation for our report and for the study is that we have a long history of support to African integration, even since before independence. And lots of this support has gone to Pan-Africanism in general, but especially to the states-driven regional organizations, such as today's Africa Union, the RECs, that's the acronym for regional economic communities, such as SADC, IGAD, ECOWAS, and COMESA, and so on. There are eight. These ROs, which also include river basin organizations, for instance. There are many river basin organizations and other sectoral functional organizations. These are very donor dependent. The RECs, we normally say that they depend on their budgets for between 60 and 80% of their budgets are supported by the donors, sometimes even more. The program budget of the Africa Union is supported by 90% from the donors, a little less on their core budget. There are three motivations for this our report. There is a general lack of systematic knowledge about when and why external support to regional integration works. We also did this report in order to feed into the new regional strategy from Sweden, Swedish regional strategy to sub-Saharan Africa. And the third reason was that we wanted to contribute to broader comparative and general discussions, which also includes other donor agencies and the regional organizations in Africa themselves. Our main questions are, The most general question, which is a bit difficult, it's when and how does external funding or aid promote positive development outcomes and poverty reduction? This is a very ambitious question. We break it down into at least two sub-questions as well, or complementary questions. Why and how does external funding improve RO performance? There's a wide discussion around the implementation gap, the gap between rhetorics and official policies and their implementation in these regional organizations. We want to cover that issue as well. And finally, what funding strategies and aid modalities are most effective? And when I presented this report at Gothenburg, University of Gothenburg, on a big stint said, it's much better to have ambitious questions compared to more specific, and if they are not that relevant. These questions, I think, span a lot, and they are ambitious, and that will influence our possibility to also the methodology and possibilities to say parsimonious answers. In terms of methodology and our sources, we are also ambitious. And we want this report to combine research with evaluation and policy. So we have combined three different methodologies, which is, first, we want to speak and take into account the academic debates and applied research debates. Then we have taken the aggregate results from 12 donor evaluations of regional programs. And finally, we have done an in-depth case study of Swedish regional support. The regional strategy from 2010 to 2015. I will speak mainly about the third, the Swedish case study, which fits here. But the research and the evaluation feeds into that analysis. How about the Swedish regional strategy then, which is our focus? I will say a few words about the new regional strategy, which started, I don't know if it has started yet, but in June, the next strategy. I will comment upon that in the end. The strategy is budgeted for more than 3 billion Swedish crowns. Perhaps it's not a huge sum, but like I said earlier, these funds are very important for the recipients. They're very important for regional organizations. And the Swedish strategy, this sum does not involve the multilateral aid, going through the multilateral Swedish aid. For instance, through African Development Bank, which is quite big. The Swedish regional strategy implemented by SIDA has three priority areas: regional economic integration, peace and security, environment and climate. Its cornerstone in this strategy is institutional development and capacity building of intergovernmental regional organizations, especially the AU and the RECs. There is also a growing indirect support through other regional organizations and other mechanisms. And if we look at the implementation of the strategy, it's quite pluralistic with a lot of implementing partners and recipients, whereas the strategy gives more emphasis to the AU and the RECs. So what are our results and recommendations for Swedish regional support? First, I will say a few general remarks in order to preempt some discussion. Regional support is necessary. It's extremely relevant with support to regional cooperation and integration. The question is what works and why. And we don't know that very well. There are also indications that this type of regional support is not better or worse than country-based aid, according to the knowledge that we have. The biggest evaluation in the field is of the World Bank's portfolio, and there they say that it may even be better with regional, better effectiveness and higher quality of the regional aid than some the country aid. But we cannot say that regarding Swedish aid. There are problems to generalize across sectors here. And there is often, when we have this discussion, there is a discussion about the African peace and security architecture and the support to peace and security in the Africa Union, which has high legitimacy today. And Elling has chased me to say that when I've been critical, in the reference group, he has said, how about the peace and security sector, and that you can't be as critical as you are. But I'm saying that there are possibilities, there are problems to generalize across sectors. Furthermore, there are also limitations of the evidence base and the quality of reporting, meaning that it is not that easy always to say what has worked. The evidence in the CEDAS reporting and that the research and evaluations that exist can tell us more about what has not worked. So that influences some of the results in our report. So if I move then to the first question, which is the impact on poverty reduction and development, there is rather weak evidence about the impact of this type of aid on development. We cannot establish with the good evidence whether it has led to development or not. Perhaps similar to some of the other reports that was discussed before lunch. Another conclusion is that the reporting is very much focused on activities and outputs instead of outcomes and development impact. And these are the activities of these regional organizations, meaning that we have some difficulty establishing what that means for poverty reduction and development. Another result in our report, and which we discuss at length, reasonably long. It's also discussed in the... we have one chapter on the 12 evaluations. Evaluations of the World Bank, of EU regional strategies and so on. Is that there tends to be no clear definition of the relationship between ends and means. And this means that what we mean by this is that most donors, including Sweden, they focus on supporting the level or raising the level of regional integration and the level of regional cooperation. And cooperation is a term packed with positive connotations, but it's not the same thing as development. It's not for certain that rising level of integration leads to development or poverty reduction. And this is a difficult relationship, but it's seldom discussed by the donors. They tend to focus on the supporting capacity building of regional organizations and strengthening integration. This means that another, related to this, is that another result and recommendation we have is to improve the conceptual toolbox. There are a lot of concepts and terms fluctuating in the different Swedish strategies as well as in the reports. Sometimes there is interchangeable use of regional development cooperation and support to regional integration, support to regional cooperation, regional projects and regional development. And regional development cooperation is not the same thing as regional development. So these ambiguities causes pluralism. That's the first question. The second question was whether this type of support improves RO performance. And one important source of evidence that we have used is the CEDA's own reporting of AU and the REX. And they draw attention to a lot of problems in the functioning of the AU and the REX, and also if we look more broadly on other regional organizations. They draw attention to organizational problems, relations with member states, relations with donors, and the reporting and results. There are weak institutional structures, weak mandates of these organizations. The member countries bypass the organizations. There are donor dependence, poor reporting, and so on. And these reports correspond well with the interviews we have done in CEDA and the Swedish embassies and in foreign ministry, that, highlighting that there are big problems to improve the efficiency of these regional organizations. And we know this. There's a lot of discussion about it. However, I've been involved in discussions with CEDA and to some extent foreign ministry also for 15 years. And if I move back these 15 years, 2002 was the first regional strategy. Then if we raise these questions about the problems of regional organization and that they could even be manipulated and dysfunctional, then I was understood as an Afro-pessimist. Nowadays, what is interesting is when I raise these issues today, some of the donor officials and CEDA officials says that these are the problems that we experience in our daily work. Which means to me that there is a broadening of the mental maps and the approaches to understand these organizations. And when I talk to donor officials abroad, this is a problem. How to navigate in understanding these regional organizations. And very superficially, or simple, I distinguish between two different approaches. One is more optimistic and idealistic. It's, it can be labeled grouped institutionalism and Pan-African approach, which is that in spite of many obstacles and also differences between Africa and Europe, the standard solution would be to build capacity of these organizations, strengthen the institutions, in order to make them better fitted to deal with the regional challenges of Africa. A more critical and it has also been involving what is called the new regionalism approaches. They say that top-down and state-driven regional organizations are needed. Like I said in the beginning, regional organizations and mechanisms are relevant and needed, but they can also be dysfunctional and inefficient. And there are also a big group of non-state actors, private market and civil society actors, and they are, these actors are traditionally, conventionally, not very well integrated into the states-led regional organizations. There are exceptions, but they are have a difficult time to get voice and influence. So this, these types of approaches, theory two, we can call them, they say qualify or revise support to states-led regional organizations and recognize the importance of bottom-up regionalization. And I've been engaged in discussions in the Swedish, among Swedish officials that say that these two approaches are relevant and that we can discuss which one is most relevant. So the recommendations for question number two would be to problematize AU and REX and top-down regionalism. A more sort of ambitious attempt would be to stop or qualify funding for dysfunctional regional organizations and projects. Exit from those that we don't work. A third point would be ensure better involvement of private market actors and civil society actors through what can be loosely defined as bottom-up regionalization and flexible institutional designs. There has been big discussions within CEDA about understanding the regional context of these organizations, because it's through understanding the regional context which enables you to make good decisions what solutions to take, whether a top-down regional organization is worth building or not. I think another result and policy recommendation would be to learn more from other donors. My experience in this field is that there is fairly little learning between donors in this field, which, at least when we compare the learning that takes place around country aid. So the third question, aid effectiveness and funding strategies. We have talked for 15 years about bridging the gap between Swedish regional aid and national country aid. As far as I understand, not that much has happened. Donor coordination appears to have improved. But it's important to do it even more, it seems. There is not a huge amount of donor coordination, although it has improved, especially during the last 5 years in Swedish aid. African ownership is a difficult question, because on the one hand, Sweden is very clear on that we want to support the African integration agenda. We want to strengthen these regional organizations and to buy into that strategy of these organizations, which in itself can be labeled as ownership. However, there is a big discussion about who owns these organizations and how it corresponds to the interests of the African national interests. And more research is needed on that. I can illustrate perhaps closely linked issue, which is TMEA versus EAC. And if you study these issues, you need to learn many acronyms. TMEA is the Trademark East Africa, which is a donor-created company in order to, which is built by the donors and funded fully by the donors in order to implement projects that supports East African integration. That's one way of delivering aid, regional support. Another very different type of regional support is through East Africa Community. And although they don't have exactly the same objectives, we have to ask ourselves which one is the best. And that has drawn my attention, but I have not come to a clear conclusion. Perhaps Harry will have more to say about that. But anyway, it means that the TMEA is built in order to achieve quick and efficient project implementation. And it appears to be pretty professional in implementing projects. However, that raises questions when you have a donor-created mechanism which may crowd out sources from funding from the East Africa Community. So even if the relationship between East Africa Community and TMEA appears to be reasonably good and supportive, we may ask ourselves which one is best, which funding strategy is best. These are what we wrote in the report. And then since then, we have had a new strategy which started in June. And in the press release accompanying the new strategy, the minister referred to our report, which I think can be viewed positively by us at least. So she or her staff has read the report, and I think that they have discussed some of the issues, as far as I can tell from discussing with the SIDA personnel staff. I will mention a few what I see as improvements of the new strategy. The new strategy, compared to the previous one, and especially compared to the earlier ones, they define the expected outcomes more explicitly compared to all the attention on activities and who is supposed to be the receiver. related to that is that the new strategy seems to recognize the need to clarify how regional capacity building should contribute to long-term development results. This is a tricky issue, and it's not the main part of the new strategy, but it does highlight it and raises important questions about how to create theories of change and so on. The third issue and improvement, perhaps one of the most important improvements, when I spoke to Torbjörn earlier at least, and to Jenny, is that the new strategy is much more focused on what is called regional actors instead of being focused primarily on intergovernmental regional organizations. So this means a more open-ended approach to who are the relevant actors in the region. And finally, it adopts what is called a holistic view. This is perhaps not the only or the main component in the strategy, but I think it is signifies an important change in that it seeks synergy between regional and national development cooperation. It seeks also other synergies. The point is that it adopts a holistic view to development in the region. And we may discuss that, but from a development perspective, I support that one. Finally, since we wrote the report, I've received a grant from the Swedish Research Fund where it's called EFRO, External Funding of Regional Organizations in Africa. So we will attempt to collect more systematic data, quantitative data on donor flows of most regional organizations, and including the multilateral development banks and so on. So if you are interested in these types of issues, in March, I think we will have the database created on our website at the School of Global Studies and at University of Gothenburg. Thank you for listening.
Thanks a lot, Fredrik and Therese, for a very interesting report, and apparently you had some impact immediately by the promising new Swedish strategy on regional development in Africa. I will pose one question, maybe come back to questions afterwards, but you mentioned your new regionalism approach and the bottom-up approach, bringing in private sector actors, etc. Have you an example where that have worked in Africa or elsewhere, and speaking about the developing country context?
Example of where non-state actors have been working. Yeah, there are many examples of regional networks of civil society organizations, for instance. They work on economies of scale, information sharing, and so on. They are purely civil society based. There are not that many, but I would, from my perspective, define them as many of them positive. I have a new article. I saw it was actually published today. It is about in the field of HIV/AIDS, where civil society participation it explores and assesses the role of civil society in SADC HIV/AIDS sector, and you can say they are working on service delivery, and that has a rather positive mutual and positive relationship between SADC and these civil society organizations. However, they are not able to influence decision making that much in that field. In the field of trade, for instance, they are The state-driven regional organizations are undermining their participation, so they have to work outside the organizations. In the field of energy provision, for instance, and infrastructure, you have an increasing participation and involvement of private market actors, and often they end up in various types of public-private partnerships or multi-actor coalitions. And it seems that the RECs are not the most efficient mechanisms to deal with such multi-actor coalitions. Sometimes they are, but often they need more flexible institutional designs.
Thanks a lot, Fredrik.